UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
He's a little angry. He's not really angry because he's got a, you know, the power of a good woman. It's unbelievable. He's happier. And frankly, Diener's got this girl now, you know, and it's ruining the show because he has to try and be angry. That's his brand. And he's happy all the time. So he's got to manufacture anger.
Well,
so,
is his girlfriend shorter than him? Because he's pretty short.
Wow. Brett says, I think I see an opening here. I think I can get a little uppercut in here. Just get a little shot right in there. Bang.
Wow. So, that was completely unwarranted off the top.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, would you have to ask that question, right? Bob's already said she's really a nice gal.
She's very pretty. She seems nice. I don't know her that well, but she's making him extremely happy.
Good.
Is she tall? She's about the same size.
Yeah, I think
so. I think they could go to the low post and have a good matchup.
I didn't want Diener to get posted up by his
girlfriend. He won't get in foul trouble.
Okay.
By the way, did you see last night in the NHL something extremely, 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 extremely rare happened?
I have the sound of it.
I know you're not a hockey guy, but you can appreciate this, Mike, just before we get back to basketball. There was a game in the NHL last night where this literally may never happen in a season. I don't know. It's only happened, but
hasn't happened since, I think, 2015.
There you go.
Or 2013.
Okay. You going to play it? Because I'll let you play it, and then I'll describe it, or I'll just describe it, and then we'll move on, because I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but it's pretty cool. It is one of the
under 30 seconds to play now.
Here it is.
Crawford goes to the bench again.
It's our friend Pete Weber.
And Rene takes a long elevated shot, bouncing, and he scores. Pekka Rene scores.
Oh, the goalie scores.
Empty net. Predators with a 5-2 lead. Pekka Rene becomes the second Predators goaltender in team history to score a goal.
There you go. So that's it. Only two in the history of the team.
And said he sent me a stat 15 all time.
15 in the history of the league. So there's
two
one
in the
Predators history.
Oh,
in Nashville Predators.
That's pretty impressive.
What? That there's only 15, or they've had two?
Well, they've had two of the 15.
It is safe to say there are a number of franchises then obviously that have ever had one. I don't think the Rangers have, and I'm not sure the Islanders have either, to be honest with you.
First one to ever do it.
All right, too long on it. Listeners are screaming, no more hockey.
Ron Hextall for the Flyers.
Right, I do remember that.
And then I think Marty Brodeur has like two or three of them for the Devils.
And you're just going to march on with
this.
Yep. Okay. So now let's get back to the world of basketball.
Marty Turco of the Stars.
Mike is not amused.
I'm fine. You know what? I've kind of gotten into hockey. I catch it when there's no hoops on.
What happened to your beard?
That happened to your face.
It looks like somebody took a lawnmower and then said, screw it, I'm not doing it anymore, and went in right under your chin. And why did you stop there? Did you run out of battery power?
What has been saying that? I don't know.
Show Pratt. I mean, it's so obvious. Look. No. See, he can't see you.
He's got a little twister.
It's why don't you just trim the other side? Get a pair of scissors, for God's sake.
A little twister down there. Hanging Chad.
You look like a very, very... You look like a rebellious Amish person.
Well, they twist those sometimes.
Do they?
I've seen pictures of them.
So since we saw you last, the University of Kentucky Cats of Wild went down to Georgia and won a hard-fought game. Georgia foolishly did a little too much celebrating at halftime, I thought. That was a little bizarre.
That was bizarre.
Did nobody tell them the game was 40 minutes or what? I mean, they were taking bows because they were at halftime. I was like, dudes, you're up a basket. I might rein it in a little bit here.
You know, they had a big win at Memphis, and I think they were full of themselves. Place was sold out. The crowd was rowdy. And, they certainly, particularly on the heels, Higgins makes that three and cuts that lead from 9-6. And now it's a new ball game. You got a little momentum going in, Kentucky does, even though you hadn't shot the ball real well. But now he makes that, and now you got a little momentum. And you look over there, and these guys are jumping around like they're jackrabbits.
Unless they had, maybe they made some first-half bets. I shouldn't joke like that because that would be a terrible scandal. But, you know, you can do that now. You can bet on the first half. Maybe the guy's like, dude, we just cleaned up.
Shouldn't be talking that.
Should not be saying that. I'm
but,
sorry.
They came back. They're starting to grow their game. And, you know, this Nick Richards played with two fouls for a large portion of the game, which is good. He picked up another one. He played with two fouls in last year and his first year. He got that second foul. Calipari took him. He was done. He just lost his focus for whatever the reason. This year, much better job.
Do you think you can teach guys to play with fouls? Is that a learnable skill?
I think
– I've often wrestled with that.
In Nick's case, coming from Jamaica when he did, he's only been playing organized ball 5 or 6 years. I think that it's a growth process in that regard. But I always thought as a coach, you could talk about it and talk about it. Some guys picked it up, Bob. Some guys picked it up, and the other guys, it just went over their head. And that's what coaches can do. You talk about teaching, you talk. That's not something you can draw up a practice for or a drill for. You talk about it and talk about it. Some guys, it's just like the Whitney kid late in the ball game. Edwards, he's got him on the wing. And everybody talked about athletically what a matchup it was, Whitney and Edwards. About the Edwards 6'5", built really, just carved right out. And Whitney's about 6'6", and they had known each other and all this stuff. So late in the ball game, okay, it's like 10, 12 seconds to go in the ball game. Edwards, he's trying. Whitney decides, I'm not going to let this guy beat me, okay? You know that's what he's thinking. It happened right in front of us, right in front of the Kentucky bench. And he's out there in a passing lane with his arm denying because he wasn't going to let Edwards beat him because he knew Cal was going to get him at halftime, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thought process. We've all done that as players. Now, this is not going to happen. So he denies, and the kid goes back door, Edwards, and scores. And then that leads to Higgins' three at the buzzer. But I watch Whitney's body language. He was just, like, gone. When that happened, when that kid went back door and got the dunk, he was like, oh. It just let all
in. Really?
Yeah. You can tell. You've watched enough, Bob. You just tell by the body language.
No, there's no question.
It was, and he was trying so hard to do it right. He wasn't going to let that guy beat him.
Yeah, that's when you get really frustrated and you say, I'm trying my best to do what you tell me to do, and then I still get hung out to dry. I don't think you can teach guys to play with fouls. You know why I say that? Because you know the nature of players. Because what would you tell guys? You tell guys, you know, don't contest a shot. I mean, you can't take a chance. Don't reach. Don't reach. Don't throw any passes on the move where somebody could step in and take a charge, a whole bunch of things. But you know what they do? So when a guy goes up for a shot, they can't help it. They put their hand straight up, and then they stick their chest out. And then the official calls them, and then they look at you like, I didn't challenge it. And, you know, that happens all the time. You see at the end of the games when they tell guys, you know, I'm always amazed at guys, like, if they're ahead by – 4 and the other team throws it in the backcourt and the guy is getting ready to take that 60 footer at the buzzer. Just get the hell away from him. Yeah. Guys feel compelled. They have the, I mean, it's a 1 in a million shot. You're going to hit him and he's going to make it, but that's the only way they could tie. If you all rent and stood in the tunnel, you can't lose. And yet guys have to do that. So I'm convinced, and it's got nothing to do with being a stupid player. I don't think you can teach guys to play with fouls. I don't think you can do it.
You remember back in the day, the late Dean Smith, he was the leader in taking a charge. I mean, those guys took charges. That made Coach Rupp nuts. He would talk about in the scouting report. He said, now, you know they're going to take this charge into paint. They're going to step in front of you. They're going to be like 10 pins. And you're just going to run them over. And back then, you could run over somebody. I mean, you could take a charge. The guy didn't have to have the ball.
Yeah.
Okay? And Carolina was the best at that. That's what Dean taught. And we would play them. I remember one time we were playing them his first half, and I had two fouls. You talk about not learning how to play. I don't know what year I was in, but I remember I went down through the paint without the ball, knowing they would be there. Okay, I'm trying to get to the other side where the ball is. And I run right over this guy. And I'm not so sure he didn't flop, or I just took a leave of absence. Third foul. And Adolf was hacked off. And I was more hacked off because they had gone over in this scouting
report
exclusively
exactly.
That when you go through this lane with or without the ball, they're going to be waiting for you. Whenever they're going to fall.
Whatever you do, don't do this. And they go, game slippage, Mike. Yeah, it was an early episode of game slippage.
It was. And it's funny what you remember about your career and, you know, things that you do good and bad and things that happen to you. But when I think of and next week I'm going to have some coffee with Eddie Fogler. Yeah. And Eddie and I, you know, played against each other.
Sure.
And we're good friends. And he'll come down to the hotel, and we'll talk basketball and for an hour 15 minutes. And every time I think about Carolina, we had great games with them. They had terrific teams. They had pros. We had pros. It was all good. But funny what you remember.
Oh, you do sometimes remember the most obscure things. And sometimes there's those regrets you just can't get out of your system. I wish I would give anything one more chance at that one game, one play, one decision, one something. But that's the way the world works.
It's funny what the memory does to you.
Although coaches will always remember I've told you this story before, and the name doesn't mean anything to you, but the second guy I worked for Joe Harrington, who used to be Lefty Driesell's assistant, and then he became the head coach at Hofstra, the head coach at George Mason, the head coach at Colorado, and I worked for him for a year, and then he left, and the new guy who came in was a guy named Richard Berg, and I worked
I
for
him.
Yeah, he went on, he coached at Hofstra for about 6-7 years, and then he went down and became an athletic director. He was the athletic director at University of North Florida or West Florida, I forget which one, and that's where he finished his career. They inducted him into the Hall of Fame down there because he was a really good athletic director. Not that he wasn't a good coach, but he was much more of a organizer. He was a great athletic director. And he came to Hofstra from this little Division II school, which has now shut their doors. It was a college on Long Island called Dowling College, and it was a good Division II program. And he had a lot of teams where they won, you know, 20, back when you only played 28 games, they won 22, 23, 21, 20. He had good runs. They'd go to the tournament that was – actually, he was in the NAIA, and there weren't a lot of NAIA schools in New York. I'm going too long-winded on this because the point is he had all these great, great, successful teams. And I swear to you, the one play he remembers, they were in the regional tournament in the NAIA, and it was like 15 seconds to go in the game. They were down a point, and a guy was driving baseline, getting ready to look like a clear layup, and he bounced it off his foot, and it went out of bounds. And he talks about that play. Everybody who knows him would say, oh, you're talking about the off-the-foot play again? Yep. I mean, just that was the one play. Everybody's got one they remember. So it's unbelievable.
It's funny how that works because a lot of guys have great, terrific careers. They score a lot of points, and all of a sudden they come with one where, you know, it meant a lot to them that particular game, and something happened.
Yep.
And they go, oh, man, I did this, and that. Now, you've got to be good friends with people to bring that up. They're not going to do that publicly.
No. Okay. That's true at that point. Yes, you know, it's like bringing up, hey, let's go talk about somebody in your family who died. You don't want to do that. I mean, so speaking of things that happened, Hagen's got hurt, right? How is he?
He had a lower ankle sprain against Missouri,
and
they treated him, and he was fine. He stiffened up a couple times. I could tell him favoring the knee, but afterwards they put him in a boot. And he got on the plane.
Seems to be okay.
Everybody
wears that boot now. I mean, you know, it used to be when I'd see that, I'd think, oh, my God, this guy's going to be out weeks. And I realized, no, he's fine. It's just a precautionary thing.
And it takes the pressure off and helps to alleviate some of the pressure and some of the swelling. And I think he'll be fine. Boy, back in the day, they just say, put some ice on it. You know, you'll be okay. Put some ice on it.
I remember when I first got into coaching, they had that stuff which has since been banned. It was like a plumbing. It was a chemical, remember? And they put that in, and it would suck the swelling out. Oh, you could go find it because it was all the rage. Like, oh, how many years ago? God, what, 10, 20, 30 years ago. And then they started to realize, you realize that this is not a healthy thing you're doing for these. I mean, it's just, it's like leeches, you know.
Okay. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of it. It wasn't designed for this purpose, but somebody found out that that's what it would do.
Take the swelling down.
And then they started to use it, and then people are like, you realize you're poisoning people when you do it, but the swelling is going down, but, you know, they're killing them. So I can't remember the name of it. Anyway, I digress.
There was another interesting game last night besides a peanut butter game.
Which was? Okay.
It was Memphis and Wichita State. Yeah, Bob, Memphis, I watched Memphis against
Wiseman
Georgia.
Is,
they got this Precious.
That's his name. Yeah,
Precious Achiuwa.
Yep, that's
he can play. And they got a couple other young
guys. No, they
guys.
Still got a good team. But and he does a hell of it. That is, he is one strange guy.
Penny?
No, the guy at the Greg Marshall.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
he's
yeah.
He's really odd.
But
he's the guy can coach.
And he's got the team like he had before.
Yep.
That he's got a couple real quality guys,
yep.
And the rest of them just bang and knock and hit you. He'll have a shooter, okay? And then he'll have a good, solid point guard. And then he'll have some bangers and mid-sized guys. But, man, did they bang and knock against Memphis. And, of course,
they really, they're really physical players, and so
place was sold out. 10,000 people. It was nuts.
An underappreciated job. They get a lot of support there. Really, they used to have a lot of money. They used to have a lot of oil money. The boosters.
Well,
I don't know if they do
probation.
It anymore. Right. Well,
yeah.
That goes hand in hand, doesn't it?
Have you ever been to the Roundhouse?
Yeah. Called Dunn Games there. I went.
Yeah. That's pretty.
That's
cool,
why
it?
I said, and I've known Greg since he was at Winthrop.
Yeah,
so I went out
yeah.
and did a game there, and he's a little bit, and you're an insurance salesman, don't take it personally, but he's a little bit like an insurance salesman. What was that, the stuff they used to sell, the multi-level marketing stuff they would sell, the Amway. He was like, he's an Amway salesman. It's unbelievable. I mean, I'm here to do the game, and he's giving me a tour, and at the end of it, I was going
to
be like what do you want me to buy, Greg? I mean, were you selling something? It was like, literally, he was handing brochures. Like, they had his camp brochure, and he takes you through the office, and he takes you around the back, and I wonder sometimes, because you
Rock Hill, South Carolina.
He did that at Winthrop. Did he do it with you at Winthrop?
Yeah, we did
the
championship.
He said he'd do the whole
game.
Thing where I grew up in that house. He walked, and he shows that was where I grew up, and that house across the street.
We did their league championship.
He does the Greg
game.
Marshall story every time you go down there. The only thing I could think, and I'm not saying it nasty or even snarky, I don't think he's very comfortable socially. So by doing that, he gets to control the narrative.
Oh, okay.
I think it's like I don't have to worry about having an actual conversation with you because we're just doing – it's the Greg Marshall story. We're doing sales. At the end, I'm going to close. And I don't know. I did walk out of there with four bottles of cleaner. I don't know how that happened, but I was
– ABC.
Always be closing. Yeah, he was. But the dude can coach a little bit.
When I was down there with Fox, we did the championship game of that league.
Yeah.
And I can't even tell you the league.
Big South, isn't it?
It could have been then. You don't know. I can't remember. But Eddie Biedenbach was coaching at Asheville.
Another character.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say. Eddie's a friend of ours.
But he's a good guy.
A good guy. And he'll talk to anybody about anything.
Yes, he will.
Okay. And you have Eddie selling a different way. And then you had Greg Marshall selling a different way. And, of course, I knew Eddie better than I did Marshall from over the years. But they were playing for the championship, and we did it on Fox. And I shook my head. Of course, Rock Hill, just a suburb of Charlotte, basically.
Yeah, it is. That was a short – were you living in Charlotte at that time?
No.
Oh.
But I flew to Charlotte and drove down.
That is. I mean, I didn't realize when I did the game, you fly into Charlotte.
Yep.
It's like a 25-minute ride or something?
At the most.
Yeah,
at the most.
Very close. One thing I wanted to ask you about, getting back to your particular team, it appears – and remember we talked about this, January 15th, you are who you are.
Yeah.
It appears Cal's getting close to
Fred
making
Carter.
Fred Carter. We got to get him on the show 1 week, the Mad Dog. You've
mentioned that like three times this week.
What, that we got to get him on the show?
Because
he's come up in the conversation, and I keep saying it, hoping that the producer might take the bull by the horns and say, Gene, let me get on that. But he'd rather just cut his beard crookedly and then go on about life. So,
It's probably because
sulking. Go on.
It was
I'm
all
sorry.
Those beers he had last night. He couldn't comb it out straight.
Oh, man.
Hey, Brad is just late.
Mike hears the bell. He's running to the middle of the ring, and he's throwing a roundhouse right
today.
He's like, screw the jab. I'm not. Somebody's winning this fight in the first round. Might not be me, but somebody's going down.
John L. Sullivan just taking on all
taking all comers.
He's low key a little pissed off. He wasn't there last night.
He is. That is true. He is a little bit angry about
that. They invite me at 3:30.
That's a bunch of garbage.
Roundhouse
can't
kicked
bougie
the VP
people can't work
in the
that
face.
Way.
Made fun of my face. It's only a matter of time before he makes fun
of
you,
Dad. He'll jump at some point.
No, Phil Baker's my guy. He texted me at 3:30 to invite me. Very nice of him. And
that's
hey, I would have been there for some free
that's
beer.
Such a left-handed wow. compliment. Like yeah. That was nice of him to think of me 2 hours before the party starts. That's nice. Yeah, great. It's like
well, Nick didn't call me and invite me. What the hell, Bob?
I found out
about lucky. He didn't know
too.
About it himself.
Really?
They only have meetings when we're on the air because they don't want me really in the meeting, I gather. And if Nick gets in the meeting, he takes them down the rabbit holes all the time like he does on the show. And so the meetings, instead of a half hour, last 2 days. So they
guys, want to see a praying mantis eat a rat?
Yeah, so that's probably
no, I was also really sick and messed up the whole week. So
he was sick. He had the flu. Did you know? He had 103 fever. He was really sick. Yeah, he was.
Johnny Juzang's been fighting that. I think he may come back this weekend. But they didn't take him. They quarantined.
He didn't even make the trip, right?
Yeah, they quarantined.
Well,
is that breaking news?
No, but how great a segue is that?
I think he's good now.
We went from the flu to what I was going to ask you about anyway, because the rotation down there, they only played 8 guys.
I finally found that drop I wanted to play.
I don't even know. You have your own show over there. It's like in stereo. We're doing our show over here. You're doing your show over there, and they don't have anything to do with each other. So people have to try and just separate. Which show is that part of? I don't know.
A or B?
Figure it out. But he only played 8 guys down there, and the question I have is, as he defines who they are, how much – your boy Quickly, who you told us in the offseason was going to have a game, finally stepped up and had a game for himself.
Well, he's averaging double figures.
But he had 5 for 10, 3 of 3 from the three-point line, which is like water to a parched earth with
this
game.
1 of 4 in the first half. He had a terrific – Quick had a terrific second half.
5 rebounds, by the way. Yeah. But my point is 8 guys – So and Cal is one of those guys that's comfortable playing 8. He doesn't really see a lot of need to play.
Yeah, he is.
He's not like he's the opposite of Leonard Hamilton, who wants
runs
to play.
In
I, as my
waves.
Brother say, looks like he's running guys in and out like he's paying off on campaign promises. I love that line. But the question is Juzang? I realize he was ill, but how much would he crack this rotation anyway now?
Well,
I don't think there's a lot of minutes for him anyway.
All
to be
coaches
honest.
Shorten that rotation come January
especially
1.
Cal.
You know, and coaches want to say this, Bob. See if you go along with it. Coaches want to say this. They want to say, look, first 2 months, I listened to you on how to do it, and I watched you on how to do it.
Now we're going to do it my way.
Now we're going to do it my way because we didn't get it done. Is that coaches or not?
I hate to say that. I've used that exact line once or twice. Fellas, we tried it your way. Anybody think that's as good as we can be? No? Okay, then let's try it this way instead.
So,
because you look at this team, and as we said, sorry for Higgins, but not sorry in a way. I don't mean it that way. But it starts with Maxey, who played 39 minutes. 39 minutes. Next time he comes out is when he declares for the draft. Higgins played 36. None of the other starters played more than 25, so he does rotate the minutes with the other 6 guys for those other 3 spots. But that leads to my second question. How much more freedom for substitution does his willingness to play 3 guards seem to be now?
Oh, I think he's all in on 3 guards. But I think he's going to bring Quickly off the bench. I mean, this kid is, he's the juice off the bench. You got to have a guy like that, right?
Some teams don't, but, boy, it's a big help when you got a Vinnie Johnson microwave who can come in and heat things up. So.
And the kid has really improved his game. He could shoot it. He was streaky last year. So far, he's been a good shooter. But what he's really done in the last month, Bob, is – instead of just heading off on the drive, because he's quick enough with the ball to get places like the paint, and he had a tendency to make some bad decisions, take a bad shot or bad pass. He's really under control over the last 3 or 4 weeks, which has helped everybody's game, okay?
He had no turnovers in 34 minutes.
That's right. In 34 minutes off the bench. I think Cal's all in on the 3 guards, but there's one guy you can talk about, Juzang, Brooks and Whitney improving their game and really growing. And we've seen it out of Brooks first. The other two, we'll hopefully see it before the year end. But the guy that's got to get on board and get focused is E.J. Montgomery.
I knew where you were going with that.
He's the guy that has got to give you 10, 12 points minimum. He's been rebounding pretty well.
He has.
He's gotten 6 or 7 rebounds the last couple of games, and he had a big block against you guys, and he had a couple nice blocks against Georgia. And the kid is long. He's got a confidence.
But he only scored 2 points, and he only had three shots. And people will say sometimes, well, that means maybe not throwing him the ball. But one of the advantages when you're that size is if you don't throw it to me, I'm going to go get it.
Exactly. That opens a door. You shut one door, you open another door, and you have a chance to get to the charity stripe. But I offer this to you. If you reviewed the film, the tape, you would see the kid had a lot of open shots.
It's passed like, up on
yeah,
shots.
They're trying to create a little high-low with him at the charity stripe and Nick Lowe. And he'll get the ball in there sometimes and just turn it at the basket and then try to pass it out. Shoot the ball. You're a shooter. Shoot the ball. Now, that's one thing about Calipari and other coaches that, if you're open, shoot it, And what's his great line? He said, you can't make a ball, but you can't miss them all.
Wayne Gretzky, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. But you know what what struck me is Sestina had 7 rebounds. You had 4 guys with 7 rebounds. Whew, they play like that. That's tough.
Well, you bring Sestina in quickly off the bench. That gives you some juice. And then after that, it's going to be the guys that I mentioned figuring out that. And that's why I feel sorry for Whitney. Cal's been on him about playing defense, rebounding, not worrying about your offense, et cetera, et cetera. In that last 10, 12 seconds, he's denying Edwards. He said, I'm not going to let Coach get on my butt, and he goes back door. I sat right there in front of him, and I thought, man, that's a bad play. But, man, this kid, he was trying not to.
He's trying so hard.
He was trying so hard. God bless him, and it didn't work out.
So they're doing more than dribble driving. They're passing, evidently, because 18 assists in this last game.
They
had 8 for Maxey, 5 for Higgins, and then a couple of other guys 8? For the other 5.
Maxey is hard to believe there were 8.
But you thought it was more than that?
No, I thought it was less than that. I thought Higgins would have had more. Yeah, I've got stats
Maxey's,
right here.
Maxey's
yeah.
this.
No,
Maxey's
Maxey
a stud.
A
you know, I'm not disrespecting Higgins, but Maxey, we've talked about that. He's driving the bus for you guys. I'm
well,
sorry.
The question about him at the next level, by all the people I talk to, is he a 1 or is he a 2? And who knows, right? But what we're doing as a team a whole lot better is we're making better decisions with the ball. Okay, out in Vegas, didn't make some good decisions. 4 minutes to go, you're down 2 with the ball, and you end up losing by 6. Right now they're making better decisions with the ball. And that equates to better shots for yourself if
sure.
you have the ball and your teammates.
Well, and I think it speaks to when they shot 6 for 12 from the three-point line, they're still not a great shooting team. But when you get good shots, you said that, they're a capable shooting team.
Yep.
And the difference is they're getting better threes. That's one of the reasons they shot them well against Louisville. They were pretty wide-open threes, most of them.
And they're going to be streaky. I just think that's the nature of this team. They're going to be streaky. And they're going to have some games where you wonder what the hell's going on. But he tries to limit that, and he's going to be able to limit the effect of that, Bob, if Richards and Montgomery, if particularly Nick keeps playing like he is, but if EJ joins in, you're going to negate because they're going to get fouled, all right? They're going to get – and particularly Nick is a good 75% foul shooter. Can't ask a big guy for more than that, so – keeping him in the game and out of foul trouble is critical.
Yeah, in fairness, and for Kentucky fans, say just stick to analyzing your own team. You've pointed that out, and I meant from the perimeter. Richards really is. You're right. He is when he's engaged and dialed
oh, yeah.
in.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Maxey's terrific, but he's such a difference maker. That
Ooh.
Kid. I mean, he's 17.7 rebounds. He shot 8 of 11. He is. That's a presence that's difficult to replicate.
Seven-footer runs like a deer.
Yeah.
And when he's running the floor, he's going to outrun 99.9% of the big guys.
Cal loves to run, which they do a good job of. So the schedule is interesting because this is a chance for them. Well, I shouldn't say that. I should ask you, what do you make of the conference? The ACC, as for example, it's never bad, and it's not bad, but it's relative to where it's been. It's not what it's been this year. It's usually the best or the second best league in the country. Sagarin has it as the 4th best league right now. So
and the SEC is 5, right?
Yeah, I think so. So I mean, so neither one of them are great, but people sometimes make too much of that. They're still tough games. But I look at the league, and Kentucky gets Alabama home, an 8-6 South Carolina team on the road. Then they get Arkansas, who's unranked, who's surprisingly 12-2. Then Georgia returns the game. Then they go Texas Tech on the road. Vandy comes to town, and then they get Auburn on the road. So really, the end of the month, it looks like it's kind of like a bell curve. It looks like it's the tougher games are later or not. What do you think?
They've always backloaded for TV. Okay, and they thought Tennessee was going to be better than they are, so they backloaded that game.
Right.
Okay.
I'm surprised at that.
But that's what they've always done. I think there's right now there's probably three teams. You got Auburn, Kentucky.
The teams that are unbeaten in league play, they're 2-0, are Kentucky, Auburn, Florida, and LSU. And Florida,
I was going to say LSU's got a ton of talent. They haven't played real well all year. They still are undefeated. Florida's got a ton of talent.
Florida, before the year, people were all gung-ho on. They were in the rankings. They were a dark horse Final Four pick for some people, and now they're out of the rankings altogether. Do you think those are those clear like in the ACC?
Those four are clear.
In the ACC, it should be. I think Duke and Florida State. Florida State's good.
They are good.
And Louisville. And now the fourth team, I don't know, could still be Virginia, even though they really struggle to score the ball. But that's why I say Louisville should be in one
Georgia
of those top
Tech's
four.
A little better than you think.
I guess they are.
They're better
they
than you
must
think.
Be, because everybody discounts them. I hate to say it because of Josh. They don't think, Josh Pastner. But, they've got three conference wins right now also. But so in the SEC, Auburn, Kentucky, Florida,
LSU
that's that clear in your mind, those four are the
best? I think
best?
So. But with the rest of the league, for example, let's look at Alabama. Nate Oates has gone down there from Buffalo.
Oh,
his
good.
Team will run and shoot the threes.
He's going to build a good program there, I think.
He's already turned around the mentality down there. He's given them some freedom. You know, they're shooting 30 trays a game, Bob, and they're hitting like 41% of it. And the kid Petty, who's their leading scorer, he's hitting 50% of his trays. Now, you do the math on that. And they're making, on average, 11 or 12 a game.
He tees it high and lets it fly. That's how he played at Buffalo.
He had mid-sized players at Buffalo. They played hard, and they shot that three. So I think he gets another compliment of those guys that can play like that.
I agree.
He's going to make it a whole lot different. But they're very capable of winning tomorrow. If they get out there and make 15 of their 33s in Kentucky, let's say Kentucky makes 7 of 10 or 7 of 12. I mean, do
that's
the
a
math.
Lot of points to make up.
That's a lot of points. That means Nick's really got to get a lot of touches, or EJ's got to come alive and get in foul trouble. I mean, the amount of threes that they make or can make and have made are give you pause.
Yeah, that's a good point. We're going to take a break, and then we will come back. We have another half hour to go. I'm sorry. I'm absolutely listening to every word you're saying, but I'm watching the not top 10 list behind you, and some of these are hilarious. The SportsCenter not top 10. Oh, my God. It's hard to believe these things actually happen during games. So you might want to check some out.
I've got a couple things I want to ask you guys.
All right, but we'll do that on the other side. Thanks for being with us. Fast Break Friday, presented by Universal Windows Direct. Stick around. More to come.
You're listening to the V-Show podcast. Listen to Bob Valvano weekdays noon to 3 only on ESPN 680 and online at ESPNLouisville.com.
For you. Your mother gave these to me. This is Nick's new friend. Makes it sound like a little child. His girlfriend bought a house, and she's having a housewarming party, and she needs these for hors d'oeuvres she's serving.
Oh, yeah, those little brie and
they're called little,
things.
In French, it's moule à gâteau.
Hey, wait a minute. Go back here. Rerun the last few. Nick's girlfriend just bought a house?
Yeah.
Nick. Good choice.
Yeah, no, right?
Yeah, you hit a
opposites
home run there,
attract.
Brother. Yeah.
30-year-old living at home. She's buying places for herself.
Kind of a misnomer.
Awesome.
Somebody hasn't been home a lot lately, so.
Because she has a house.
I realize that was the whole point.
Somebody's got to paint the house, Bob. Jesus, come on.
I did actually paint.
Yes, that was very. Yeah.
But her mom did the edging.
Tiny bit jealous.
They don't trust me with the edge.
You did the woodwork, huh?
I did the big part. The big, easy part. And the actual small details.
You went to Louisiana?
What? Oh, the Big Easy. Oh, okay.
So if you're a backup quarterback, life is rough for you in one way. We always think it's so great. They pay you that money. You stand with a clipboard. You have a baseball cap. But if you get called on to play, I don't know if you just saw this. Josh McCown, the guy who came in and had to play for the Eagles when Carson Wentz got hurt. He's their backup quarterback. He came in and played and evidently tore a muscle in his leg and played the last, like, two-thirds of the game with a torn muscle that's so bad he's going to need surgery and be out for 6 months. But when you're the backup, guess what? If you can, you're conscious, you can find the field, drag your ass back out there and play, pal, because if not, we got to run the a wide receiver who hasn't played quarterback since high school out there and in the NFL playoff game. I give that guy some kind of credit. That was
That worked for UK.
That was saying. Yeah, but over the course of a season, they don't even have another quarterback dressed. They would have had to take some guy.
Taxi squad. They can't get him off.
Can't do that. You can't do that on the day of the game. So he had to play. That is a guy who's going to have earned the respect of his peers. I promise you that, because that was some kind of toughness. Wow.
To your point, if the starting quarterback gets hurt, they're going to get him out quickly take care of him.
Yeah,
he but you're the backup.
Backup managers, run your butt out there.
Hey,
excuse me, do you know where you are? Cleveland? Close enough. Philadelphia, get out there.
Brown, how in the world are you starting this game tonight after taking that hit just 6 days ago?
Well, let me answer that question by asking you two questions. One, is this or is this not the XFL? Yes, it is. Two, do I not currently have a pulse? Yes, I do. Let's play football.
Jeff Brom, ladies and gentlemen, one of the legendary answers. Absolutely.
Let's play
football.
Do I
or do I not have a pulse? Right, the announcer should have taken his rest. I don't know. Let me see here. Hold on. Yes, you do, as a matter of fact.
Absolutely. Kill the momentum of all
that. I'm sorry. I didn't see this on the Big Ten Network. As an announcer, this part of me that was like, you go, boy. Which reminded me, I said, because I'm surprised the announcer didn't punch him in the face, which reminded me of this. Did you see that in that top 10? The two guys, and we both broadcast, we still are, but we've done TV too, where you're doing that shot with a guy standing on the court shooting the two of you, mm-hmm. and you're sitting there, mm-hmm. and behind him, and it was unfortunately for our good friend Richard Pitino, I guess it doesn't really affect him, the Minnesota Gopher mascot guy is between the two of them. And he's just, you know, dumping his head back and forth and woo. And the play-by-play guy, did you see this?
No.
He turns and he punches him right in the face.
Really?
Just turns and he belts him. And the mascot gets out of the picture. Then they go back and do their business. I don't know. Maybe they scripted it, but it was hilarious because it was annoying. That is, you know, you're trying to do your job. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having fun and yay, woo, look. But when it's affecting guys that are trying to do their job, I mean, I don't come to your, when you're writing up your insurance policy at your desk and stand in front of it, woo, hi, woo, look at me, hey, woo, number one, woo. You got to go find it. It is hilarious.
I'll try to track that video.
Two stories along those lines. One, when you were doing TV or still doing TV, I was doing TV, and I've had the mascots come up to me and stand next to me.
Yes.
And all. Very nice, you know. And then when, you know, somebody says, waves them off. But who was the guy that coached Marquette and then went to Tennessee, wore the glasses?
Kevin O'Neill.
They tell the story about Kevin O'Neill. They're playing their rival, Wisconsin, in Wisconsin. And O'Neill is kind of one of those guys that just always is flying off the handle, right? So he gets a technical or two and gets run.
Okay.
So he goes to the locker room and decides he wants some popcorn or something. Okay. So he goes out to get popcorn or a Coke because it's first half still. And they said he's standing in line.
Yeah.
There wasn't much of a line. I mean, the game's going on. But it's like three deep. And Bucky the Badger comes behind him and is yapping at him. And he turned and strokes Bucky the Badger. Right. Strokes him, okay? And it turns out to be a little girl.
Oh, no!
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, she shouldn't have run her mouth.
They had that. This has been quite a few years ago.
I never
when he
saw that one.
Oh, man, it was hilarious.
So the coach got run, went to go get a soda.
Yeah, and a popcorn.
Got into a John contest with the mascot. Stuck the mascot, who turned out to be a girl. How did he survive that?
Milwaukee. Maybe she said,
fair enough.
Maybe she said naughty things.
The land of. I just have this image of this badger with a classic Wisconsin accent, just like just giving him the business.
Hey, coach. Why don't you get some cheese?
You're no good there, coach. Just bam, right in the face. But all right, so you guys were talking about top 10 lists and everything like that.
All right.
Have you guys seen this? Evidently, this was from Family Feud Canada. There's a Canadian edition of Family Feud.
Okay.
And this is an all-time bad answer. But
well, that's saying something because some of those have been...
But the thing that makes it great is it's an enthusiastic bad answer.
Okay.
So I just take a listen.
All right. Real simple. There's one question. Only one answer. Whoever gets it, you're playing for $10,000. That's it. Whoever guesses this wins the game. Here we go. Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken. Oh, my God.
Show me chicken.
Spinach, Jerry.
Show me spinach.
Well, she heard Popeye's chicken. Wasn't as stupid as I thought it was.
Here's the thing, though.
No, that's stupid. I mean, what is Popeye's favorite food? Come on.
Well, she heard Popeye's and chicken, and, you know, they
went. That's selective listening.
Yeah,
well, you've had players. We've all had players.
I'm just saying, we live in a society of selective listening. The great thing is that how she said it, though. It's like, we won. We're $10,000 richer, Jerry. It's chicken. And Jerry's like, no, you ass had it.
Her family was looking at her, too, like, you mother. Like, just, that was the
you
best
cost
part.
Cost us 10 grand, eh?
And she
that was a really offensive answer there, eh?
She's so bubbly and happy, and like,
well, you win $10,000, you get bubbly and happy.
In our family, could you? In our family, seriously, our family, honest to God, any one of us who had said that, how do you think
murdered.
You said it,
done.
Jamie would kill you. Your mother would never let you forget it till the time you died. I would just be sarcastic about it forever, no matter what came
up. There's not a delay long enough to prevent what Jamie and I would inflict on one another.
I would hate if that would happen to your family. No. I would hate to be at the dinner table the night after.
No, it would be forever. It would be like Thanksgiving 20 years later. Okay, everybody, look for dinner. We're going to have chicken. Oh, it's turkey. That's right. It's not chicken because it's Thanksgiving. It's not chicken, is it, you asshat? Let it go, Mom. It was 20 years ago. No. I had my heart set on using that as a down payment for a new house.
Why don't you go up and hit the button then? No, it wasn't even my turn. I wasn't ready. The thing is,
how
though,
in the world did you stumble on that today, of all things?
No, it's been getting a lot of traction. It's one of the main like
was
videos.
Was it recent? Did it just happen?
I guess, evidently. But yeah, I think this is from, it got posted today.
All right.
I've seen it. I've been seeing the rounds. But here's the thing. It has. It was one of those one answer things.
Means everybody said spinach.
No, when it rotates, it only 54 people said spinach. So that means 46 people.
So she wasn't as stupid as you thought. That I'll bet you somebody else said chicken. Popeye's chicken.
Right.
Well, I mean that's a correlation, but I never saw Popeye back in my day eat chicken. He was eating the spinach out of a can.
Like you said, people just hear that blah blah food blah blah chicken. Popeye's chicken. That's how it works.
It's an honest mistake, but yeah, she's getting kind of.
But I'd say, Mike, you were talking about the play that you remember like the rest of your life. That poor family. You're going to be talking about she'll be on her deathbed. And the headline will be she dies like in 2070 or whatever it is. You know, Annabelle whatever, comma, the one who gave the famous Popeye's chicken answer and cost her family $10,000 back in 2020, comma, passed away today. That's how she'll be known.
The mourners at her funeral will walk up to the casket and go,
carrying chicken.
Oh, man, can you remember the chicken stuff? We lost $10,000. God bless her,
We all raised a biscuit.
Yeah.
Raise a biscuit.
All right, we've got a few minutes left, so let's get into actually some other stuff with Mike here. These glasses.
This is the question I wanted.
Our show now. You do your show on that side, and we're going to do our show.
That was a good question.
All right, go ahead, ask it.
All right, so also making the rounds. Bill Bender, the sporting news. Well, just a teeny smidgen bit of football here.
I was going to get to football. We're going to talk about the playoffs, but you're tromping all over our show, so what would you like to do?
Just let me finish my thought, and then I'll get done tromping on.
Okay.
Chicken.
You know what? Tell both of you.
Come on. What was it? Don't do that.
No. Bill Bender, Sporting News, who is going to be on one of our local shows here, The Drive on 93.9 The Bill later on today. He came up with a way too early top 25 interesting to note, number 19 on that list, U of L.
For what, football next year?
For football, saying Javian Hawkins, who was actually named to the all-freshman team, all-American freshman team, the running back for the Cards, citing him as a major reason. But he didn't have UK ranked in the preseason. So I know they're losing Lynn Bowden and everything like that, but they still have
18 starters.
What do you want to do you wanna do with that? Ask Kim. It's his list. What do I know? I don't even know.
Well, no, just maybe a comment on it. It's just interesting. I mean,
they left his team out. Ask him.
I think that he missed. I mean, I'm not going to debate whether U of L should be in there or not. But with
BBN is upset.
What Kentucky's got coming back? I don't think you could leave him out of a poll, particularly in the 15 to 25. And now, I mean, they've got a question mark at quarterback. If the kid's healthy, they got the line back, both lines back, depth and good. He redshirted a bunch of guys. Now, that Bender guy missed the boat on that one.
How about Mike Leach coming into the league?
Oh, wow. The Pirate.
That was going to be my second question.
Yeah, the Pirate's in the league.
One thing is those conference calls have just gotten automatically a whole lot more interesting.
You got Lane Kiffin and?
Yeah, it's turned into WWE.
Well, the other thing about the West is, you know, Alabama had the quarterbacks and they're running away. Auburn's got the quarterback and those two are controlling. Now Mississippi State has a coach who can find a quarterback because of his reputation. State's got a coach because of his reputation. He'll get a quarterback. A&M's throwing the ball. LSU now's throwing the ball.
Becoming the Big 12?
Yeah, well, a lot like that, Nick, and I think that's for that reason Mississippi State, to compete with their side, okay, they had to get a guy that was offensively oriented.
Well, I'll say
this carefully. I'll
say this carefully, then that is not exactly Mr. Stoops' reputation. So he's going to either be the outlier and continue to try and win games 19-17, or he's going to have to get with the program.
Well, on the East, of course, until Florida and Georgia get throwing quarterbacks.
Well, that's true.
You know, it's more of a defensive in a run side.
Two different philosophies based on division.
It already is.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. All right. So speaking of football, the National Football League has their playoffs this weekend. It's tempting to take chalk in all the games. Are you going to be one of those guys? I will pull the – by the way, let me just tell you while you – organize your thoughts, and then as always, we'll give you time to do your top 10 list, and I'll wing one together also if we have time. Vikings and 49ers are 4 o'clock here. They're on. Check the listings to see which stations they're on. They're either on 680, 105.7, or 93.9 The Ville. That's Vikings and 49ers at 4. Titans and Ravens at 7:45. They're actually on both stations. You can get, we are the Ravens affiliate here, so we get the Ravens call on 93.9 The Ville. Westwood One's call is on 680, 105.7. Sunday, Texans and Chiefs at 2:30. Seahawks and Packers at 6:15. And the national championship game in college. That's a lot of football to cover, dude. So gaze into the Mike Pratt crystal ball and who you like in there. Vikings at 49ers. What about that one?
Niners.
Straight up or to cover the spread?
What's the number?
I will tell you that as soon as I push this button right here, which is taking me forever to do. They're at NFL. And the Vikings are 7-point underdogs.
Ooh.
It's a lot.
Ooh, I still take the 49ers.
49ers to win and cover.
Yep.
Titans at Ravens. Ravens are 10-point favorites.
I think the Ravens will cover.
I do too. That one I feel more comfortable about than the other one. Because, again, Mel Kiper theory, I don't think the Titans can beat them. And if you don't think the team can win, you can't take the spread. See, I think the Vikings actually could put up a good game there.
They're pretty
good. But the two best teams I saw 6 weeks ago, I said, and I haven't changed, the 49ers and the Ravens. So if that's the case, I can't pick against either of them.
Yeah, I would say you're right. Yeah.
All right, now the other side, though, Texans and Chiefs in Kansas City. Kansas City's giving Houston 10. That too many?
Yeah, I think so, because the weather could turn on you there, and that's a brutal place to play when the wind
in
the
Kansas
Hawkins.
City?
Yeah, so that's too many.
All right, so take the Texans and take the points. Now, the NFC seems more wide open than the AFC, where most people think it's – you know, either be the Ravens or the Chiefs. The NFC, you can make a case for almost anybody. Seahawks and the Packers. Packers are laying 5 at home. Seattle's a weird team. Sometimes they look great, sometimes they look awful.
How can you bet against the Packers at home and only 5? And it's supposed to be snowing.
Well, then you are going chalky except for the Texans. You think that's too many points?
That's too many points. I think KC wins, but that's too many points.
Boy, I hate to pick. You're right. It's hard to pick against the Packers at home, but I don't know. The Seahawks have a way of doing that. They just find a way.
They do. They're a fun team to watch. You know, they do some things. Yeah, yeah.
I don't feel as comfortable with that. But honestly, if you want to know the truth, if you put a gun to my head, in terms of at least winning the game, I take the home team in every game. But I don't think that'll – it never plays out that way. It's just I don't know which one of them is the one that would not work
that's
out.
So that's right.
I'd play the odds and do that. All right, now we go to the national championship game on Monday night, and that is going to be
LSU, Clemson.
But I know, but what is the spread is what I'm trying to find. Here it is. LSU favored by 6. How do you think about that?
I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. Okay.
I wonder what the over-under is.
And I think I would take LSU and give the 6. Think maybe they could win by
the over-under is 69.5.
Ooh, that's 35.
35 each.
Yeah. Ooh. This game could be in the 40s.
Wow.
Or I think it'll at least be in the 30s. Okay. It could be. It could be 70. Could be 36-34 or 36-33.
Well, taking the over. That's a tough call.
Yeah.
Wow. It's almost right on the number.
Let's go see what they get you with that deal.
Let's go see what the Sags have to say, and then we'll do the top 10 here real quick because the Sags have been outstanding this year in the NFL and also very good in college, but not quite as good. Okay, here we go. Let's do the NFL Sagarin. The NFL Sagarin says for this game.
No, you want NCAA.
Yeah,
you do
well,
Clemson.
But the NFL is faster. So let me do that first. Okay, so the NFL, we've got Baltimore at home is taking on Tennessee, and they should win. It should be Baltimore should win by 7, and the spread is
10.
Well, Sagarin would say take Tennessee. I still wouldn't touch that. Green Bay at home should win by 4. Spread is
5.
Kansas City at home should win by 8.
What's that number's spread? 10.
Number's 10. And then San Francisco should win by 3.5, and that number is, what did we say that was, 4? No, San Francisco is 7.
7, I think, yeah.
So according to Sagarin, you should take the points in every damn game. That's unbelievable.
That will be interesting.
I find that hard to believe. That one, maybe the Sagarin has run out of steam. I don't know. Here's the NCAA championship game matchup. College Sagarin football. Here we go. That shouldn't take very long because they're both right at the top. The spread, this is a neutral field. LSU actually is ranked lower than Clemson in the Sagarin. LSU's 102. Clemson is 103.5. So that would mean you definitely should take Clemson in the points there.
Yeah, at 7 by the Sags, yeah.
How about that? And then, you know what's unbelievable, though? I got to tip my hat when you have to tip your hat. Clemson can argue, you know, people disparage us or whatever, but they've only played all year 2 top 30 teams. And they could say, it's not our fault, it's our league. Clemson has played 2 top 30 teams. LSU has played 7.
Yeah.
Wow. 7 of their 14 games have been against top 30 teams. That's... boy, I'll tell you what, that speaks volumes to me. And the more I look at this, I don't think I'd touch that game with your money.
The other thing about this game, they're going to have like 2 weeks off, right? And let guys get healthy. I understand all that. But it's almost like starting the year over.
You never know exactly. One team could come out very rusty, a couple of early turnovers, fumbles, whatever.
Well, the other thing, the pressure mounts for 2 weeks for these kids.
That's true,
you know?
Too.
And you don't know who's dealing the best. If they just move from their last game a week later play – the championship game, there's not a lot of conversation around it. All their friends, families, and fools are talking to them. They could tighten up. Either team could tighten up and not be loosey-goosey relaxed like they would have been a week ago when they came off of a 5-day break in the last ball game. I think it's hard. I think it's really hard to take those 2 weeks off right now. Yeah, it gets you healthy, but you know what?
Yeah, I agree with you. It's I think somebody's going to be very tight early, and I don't know. We'll see. That's why you wonder, You generally think of it, if teams are overamped, it helps the defense more than the offense. Because offense is rhythm and timing. Sure, defense is just, you can be a bit of a maniac and go run. Yeah. So maybe if a couple of possessions start the game empty, you don't hit that over number. But, God, football has so many possessions. I swear. They could have a score at the end of the first quarter of like 3-3 and still hit the number in this game.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, you got two throwing quarterbacks. Oh, you got good receivers.
The second half could be a 50-point half. There's no question. All right. Mike's top 10, he prepares it for you each week with the care and diligence that is his trademark. This is the AP top 25 to just get you started. Gonzaga's 1, Duke is 2, Kansas is 3. Those are the only ones who got first place votes. Baylor's 4, Auburn is 5, Butler's 6, San Diego State is 7, Michigan State is 8, Oregon is 9, Florida State is 10. What say you, Mr. Pratt?
I'm going to put the Jayhawks on top because we saw them in New York. I still believe top to bottom, bigs and littles, they got the most talent, okay? Now, the Zags are good.
It's going to be impossible to tell how good they are for the next month because that league is so much better than everybody. The game last night, they were ahead like 60-15 at the half.
I saw the score. What are you going to draw from that? But I'm going to slot them in at 2. I'm going to put the Blue Devils in at 3.
Okay.
Put Baylor in at 4. Auburn at 5. Butler at 6.
Okay.
Dayton at 7, boys the Flyers.
They're 15 in the national poll, but I'm on your side. I think they're really good.
San Diego State next. Maryland, very impressive team. They had some bumps in December. But
they're 12 right now.
Okay, Florida State at 10.
Okay.
Then my next five.
Oh, you went all the way to 15?
I did.
Wow.
My next five, Kentucky,
they're 14 UofL, in the poll. UofL is
Michigan
19.
State.
No, UofL is, where the hell is UofL?
West Virginia is 14. And Ohio State is 15. And they, you know, I did this on Monday, and Ohio State's struggling. If I had to do it today, I wouldn't put them.
Right? I don't understand where that came from. They were so well. Louisville's 13. By the way, Kentucky's 14 in the poll right now. Louisville dropped 6 spots last week. Kentucky went up 3. What you do at the top is very, very tough. I think Kansas may ultimately be the best team, and it wouldn't surprise me if Mark Few's in the Final Four and even wins it. But I don't see them as much, and I just can't gauge. They've got 54 first-place votes. They have a good chance to stay there because it's not likely they're going to lose now that they're in their league. But I would put Duke at 1, Kansas at 2, Gonzaga at 3. 4 is where it gets dicey. They've got Baylor at 4. Auburn is still unbeaten, but their schedule has really not been very good. This is going to be crazy, but I swear, even with 3 losses, I might put Michigan State at 4. They're starting to play really, really well.
They were not.
That was a time when I thought
that I can't put them ahead of
teams
Kentucky
that are undefeated,
because Kentucky beat
them. Yeah.
Okay. But I like them. They're, you know, Izzo, you can't underestimate
him. But I'm going
to
put him there anyway because he's not because he's Italian, but because I am. So he'll get 4. And then I'll put Baylor at 5. Give the devil his due there, because they still are 11-1, and or they won again. They're 12-1, I think.
12-1. Yep. Yeah.
I mean Bruce Pearl, he is undefeated. I got to put him in there.
Junkyard dogs. He's got a team of junkyard dogs.
So what am I up to? I'm up to 6. I'll put him at 6. Then it gets dicey. I know maybe I'm overstating them, but maybe because I saw them in person and they looked so good, I'm going to put Florida State all the way up there at 7. I like them. I thought they were very, very good. I would put Butler at 8, having seen them on TV. They look like the real deal. San Diego State is unbeaten. I'll put them at 9. I'll put Kentucky at 10. I'll put Louisville at 11, same criteria you use, because Kentucky beat Louisville, put them one spot ahead. I would put Ohio State at 12. No. Take that back. Put Maryland at 12. Put Ohio State at 13. I got your boys Dayton in there. I didn't forget about them. I'll put them at 14, and then I'll put Oregon at 15. That's my top. That's my top 15.
If I had to do it today, I would Jetson Ohio State and move Wichita State into that.
Well,
slot.
You saw them last night.
Oh man, they were aggressive last night.
Where are they? They're not even in the rankings. Oh, they're 23rd.
Yeah, they were impressive. And Memphis is falling. They're in a free fall. So. You've got to.
I don't know. They dropped 12 spots last week.
Well, they're going to drop 12 more right on out.
Yeah, they will be out. I've got Arizona and Colorado coming up for the. I think that's
Colorado's very good.
Let me see if I.
Oh, in Arizona.
Which game do I have? No, that's not it. Who do I have? Yeah, Colorado and Arizona in Arizona next on the 18th of January.
Take your bathing suit, man. You can get,
so that
get
should
some
be fun.
Sun. Yeah.
Yeah, that should be a good game. So there you go. All right, everybody, that wraps it up for Fast Break Friday. And we appreciate, always good to see Mike. And thanks for sharing that story. I never knew the details of that. If you're just joining us earlier in the show, I'll try and get it on our Twitter feed. John Robick, one of the staff members at Kentucky's daughter, has liver cancer and is in desperate need of a liver transplant. And that transcends fan bases or, you know, whoever you root for. This is a
people
much bigger story than that. And so if you can help or you know somebody who might be willing to be a donor, we'll send the information out. And, John, our thoughts are with you and your family. I hope everything turns out for the best. And thanks to Dino Gaudio for bringing that to our attention early. He was with us earlier in the show as well. We'll be back here in Louisville for another half hour. And the rest of you, we'll see next week on Fast Break Friday here on ESPN Radio.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded. Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.